Before I begin, I just want to point out that we have in our midst in the presence of my brother, the seminarian, who has just completed his first year of seminary at St. Charles Borromeo, his first of 6 years. And his presence today is a joy for me, but it also serves as a reminder for all of us that we do need to be praying most fervently, as we pray every Sunday, for more men to hear the vocation. And when we pray, we should follow our bishop's example and pray that the vocations may be men from our families. So perhaps our brother, our son, our nephew, perhaps for you young men here, if God is calling you to serve him as a priest. And so we want to pray for Nicholas and all the other seminarians for the Diocese of Arlington, as well as the other men and women who have heard the voice of God calling them to live a life of in obedience to the bishop, or in obedience to Christ himself in the religious life. And so we want to certainly keep that in our mind. But today I wanted to obviously talk not just about vocations, but talk about Pentecost. And I wanted to begin by looking at a familiar consideration. Oftentimes, or maybe not oftentimes, hopefully, sometimes, occasionally, more than once in your life, perhaps, you've received a gift from someone, and you're very grateful. You truly are appreciative that the person has thought about you and has given you such a kind gift, but you look at the gift and you kind of scratch your head and you say, what am I going to do with it? And so, you know, maybe you put it in the closet or in your drawer at home and it just sits there for years and years. Maybe some of you still have these things just sitting there in your homes, not sure what you're going to do with them. The question I'd like to pose today then is, do we treat the gift of the Holy Spirit in this way? In all honesty, I think we do. And I include myself in that we. Why? Why do we not use the Holy Spirit? I think back to that on that first Pentecost, how when if we were to count the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mary Magdalene, some of the other women, some of the other disciples, the 11 apostles, obviously, the book of Acts would say that there was about 120 persons in total. 120 people. If they hadn't used the gift of the Holy Spirit, the faith would never have spread. It would have died right there in Jerusalem. It all depended on that small group receiving the gift, but also using the Holy Spirit to change them. This weekend, right here at Our Lady of Hope, there will be 10 times that number coming to Mass. Throughout the state, if we were to look at all the registered Catholics here in Virginia, we would count 689,732 Catholics in Virginia who are registered. Who knows how many who aren't registered? And then if we look in our country, 60 to 70 million Catholics. And this is just the Catholics in the United States. What about the Catholics throughout the whole world? What about all those who are not Catholic but still call themselves Christian? Yes, I think we would be very honest, we could say there's millions and millions at the least of Catholics, of Christians who have received the Holy Spirit. And so we have to ask ourselves, what are we, us millions and millions of souls, what are we doing? Are we making full use of the gift of the Holy Spirit? Now let's consider that God has given us the Holy Spirit. He has placed us in this place, in this time, in our life. He has put us here for a reason, to use our gifts. We could imagine if we were given, if we had a boss and he placed us in a room with four walls and a can of paint and a paintbrush, we would know what we were supposed to do. Here we are, given gifts of the Holy Spirit in this world, in this life, with our problems, with our situation, with our encounters with everyday life, but we act like we don't know what we're supposed to do. I don't think it's all that hard to figure it out. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. And we look at our society, we look at our culture, and we see that it's turning against the gospel. We see that it's happening right before our very eyes. And yet we have in our hearts the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the power to transform the world. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit comes down upon the bread and wine on the altar and changes them into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ? Certainly yesterday we had 80 first communicants who all with resounding force and great zeal said yes, they do believe. And I'm sure we here are here because we believe. So then why do we doubt that if the priestly people of God, you and I and the millions and millions throughout the world, were to lift up this world like a communion host, God would fail to transform it? Why do we think God cannot transform our lives if we believe that He can transform that bread? Now perhaps we need to look back to the gospel and see where we have fallen astray. 53 days ago, the apostles were all gathered together in the upper room. Jesus washed their feet, and He instructed them about true love. He gave them His body and blood for the first time. He ordained them priests, so that through them He could continue to work that same miracle of transubstantiation and feed others with His body and blood. He prayed for them to His Father. He prayed that they might be one. He prayed that the Father would protect them from the evil one. He prayed that they would be consecrated in truth. He prayed that those who would hear the gospel through them might also be one. But what happened when they left the upper room? They went out, they fell asleep, and they abandoned the Lord. Right after Mass, right after having received our Lord in the Eucharist, right after having been ordained priests, Judas sells Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. The apostles run from the garden scared. Peter, for whom our Lord had prayed very specifically by name, praying that he would be the one who would hold fast, denied even knowing Jesus. And the next day, all of the disciples, except St. John, were still scared, still hiding, as love personified was crucified, suffered, and died. Jesus had prepared them for 3 years. He had told them what was going to happen to Him and what they were called to do. In all of that preparation, all of His prayers, even the sacrament of the Eucharist, did not stop them from abandoning Him. It did not keep them faithful because something was missing. Today we see those same apostles, minus Judas, gathered in the upper room. Jesus has ascended into heaven, and so the apostles huddle around the Blessed Virgin for 9 days to learn from her about Jesus, to learn from her how to pray, to learn from her how to say yes to God, how to give that fiat, which shows her faith par excellence. This time, though, when they leave the upper room, we see that they go forth to preach the gospel fearlessly. 3,000 persons were converted on that first day. The same apostles who had scattered like frightened children in the garden were now gathering children together to become sons of God. The same Peter who had denied our Lord 3 times in order to keep himself warm by a fire was now on fire with the Holy Spirit, confessing Jesus' love and confessing Jesus to be the long-awaited for Messiah, to confess that He was the Son of the living God. The disciples who were too ashamed to appear at the foot of the cross, too unwilling to accept persecution, and so would not even be with our Lord, now are proclaiming His love, an undying love that brings them to the ends of the world, that brings them, all but St. John, to experience death themselves out of love for the gospel. What was different? Surely we could say Mary's example had helped them. Doubtlessly we could say that having witnessed our Lord in the resurrection confirmed their faith, gave them a certain confidence. But what would have made these children... What would have made these disciples turn from chickens into shepherds? What would have made them turn from cowards into willing martyrs so quickly, so soon? I think the answer is clear. It's who or what, more properly who, we celebrate today. The Holy Spirit. On Pentecost Sunday, this 50th day after the resurrection of our Lord, the Holy Spirit worked a miracle in each of the apostles, and through them He works that miracle through in the hearts of the whole church. This Holy Spirit made all the difference. They received the Holy Spirit so as to be able to boldly proclaim Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit came down upon them, as we heard, like tongues of fire. Tongues because they were to speak. Fire, because they were to speak with a burning and fiery, passionate love. And they responded to that gift. Jesus had promised them the Holy Spirit. We heard about it in today's gospel. He promised that he would send them the Holy Spirit to teach them all things, to lead them into truth, to remind them of everything he had taught them, to prove that the world was wrong about sin, holiness, death, and judgment. Then, moved by the Holy Spirit, these apostles began to fulfill their mission. The Acts of the Apostles begins as the Gospels come to a conclusion. And so we want to see that the Acts of the Apostles, though the book written by St. Luke certainly comes to an end as St. Paul and Peter reach Rome and Catholicism and the message of Jesus Christ reaches the ends of the earth, represented by the eternal city of Rome. But we want to think that the Acts of the Apostles continues on in our own day, in our lives. God wants to write new chapters with each of us, and that includes each and every one of you, playing an important role. The wind that blew in that upper room is still blowing. The fire of the Holy Spirit continues to burn. Each of us, however, needs to let the Holy Spirit do his work. Each of us has to allow the Holy Spirit to bring about a similar miracle in our hearts, in our lives, in our souls. Too often, we are more like the apostles on Holy Thursday than on Pentecost Sunday. Too often, we come to Mass, Jesus prays for us, he feeds us with his body and blood, but when we leave the upper room, we basically leave him behind, giving in to various denials. Perhaps for comfort, like Peter. Perhaps out of fear, like the other disciples. Or perhaps even out of love for material possessions, like Judas. We know what our mission is. To give witness to the whole world that Jesus is the Savior. That he is the truth, the answer to all of our questions. That he is the truth worth living for, worth dying for. But how many times have we failed in that mission? And how many times do we fail even to try to fulfill it? Proclaiming the gospel today certainly is not easy. So many in our world reject Christ, reject his teachings, reject the church that he founded. But when we look back to what those first disciples faced, what they encountered in their brother and sisters of the Jewish faith seeking to kill them, the pagans of Rome seeking to kill them, we find that they had it much worse than we do. And we see that the Holy Spirit worked in them and accomplished magnificent, amazing, great things. He can do similarly great things through us if we allow him. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we too can be turned from cowards into heroes, from apostates into apostles, from sinners into saints. The key is to not let that gift of the Holy Spirit which we have received sit in our closet unopened, but to let the Holy Spirit, who, though pictured as a dove, I think is more aptly pictured in today's feast as fire, which cannot be tamed, which needs to be let loose in our lives, in our hearts, to set everything on fire with love for God, to change everything. We need to give the Holy Spirit the obedience of our lives so that he may have the freedom to act within us. The first 120 believers in one room of Jerusalem were of one heart and mind, praying for God to send down the Holy Spirit. He did, and they acted. My brothers and sisters, can we, all of us here in Potomac Falls, but also all of us Christians spread throughout the world, can we follow in their footsteps?